You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We have an action-packed show today. My co-host Ellen and I would be heating up the airwaves with kitchen table topics, as well as things that are going on around in our nation and Brevard County. And we're happy to say today we have so many people joining us in our studio. We have children, which is, you know, everybody knows children are near and dear to my heart. I just love when we can teach them and guide them and mentor them and help them to become the best human beings possible. So in studio today, we have Nevia, who is here from the Boys and Girls Club, and she is 11 years old, right? So Nevia, say hello to our audience on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Hello.
All right, that's her, shy hello. We have Gary Schifrin, who is a retired educator, retired from two schools here in Brevard County, is Merritt Island High and Jefferson, right?
Oh, he's the principal. Both of those schools.
Yeah. Yes. And so he's going to be joining us in the second segment. And also we have Baylin, who's here. And Baylin is 12 years old, and she's also here with the Boys and Girls Club. Baylin, say hello if you can.
Hello.
Oh, that's a nice hello. And also we have Anwar Hunt, who's here. And Anwar is with the Boys and Girls Club. And you're the program director, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. And also we have Matthew Jenkins, who is also 12. Matthew, welcome to our show.
Hi.
Matthew, who likes to play sports. And we also have John Banks. And John, you're 16.
Yes, ma'am. How you doing? How you doing?
And John is the one with the nice voice.
Yes.
Yeah. So
future in radio.
That's right.
We'll see.
So before we go to our show and our guests who have taken time to come and spend some time with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, Ellen, we just want to remind our listeners that our shows are now on iTunes. It's been on iTunes for a while.
Yes, for six years.
And we're getting some really nice downloads.
Yep, we had a little bit of a blip where it was the shows didn't seem to be uploading, but they're all up there now, and we've been getting 1,500 to 1,800 downloads pretty consistently.
That's right. And on all the shows are posted on Cedar Media, Inc.
Yes.
I want to tell you, I went to a rally yesterday for the children who are being held under the border in Texas. Right. And a lot of the people there came up to me and they said, "We want you to speak because we listen to your show and you're awesome." And this, I'm like,
"See,
what?
Those are the 1,500 to 1,800 people that are downloading every week."
So
thank
I did.
You. Thank
so
you.
I,
thank you.
So I did say something. You know, I just spoke from my heart that, you know, I remember coming to the United States as an 18-year-old girl with a three-month-old baby and $5 in my pocket. And I remember how scared I was. And I was fearful of people. I didn't know the people in the airport. The country was huge. I've never seen a grocery store like that in my life. I've never seen so many lanes on a highway. I mean, it was really scary and it was nerve-wracking. And if someone had told me that I will take your baby and you go ahead, I think I would have literally died of a heart attack. Mm-hmm. I was scared. And so I put myself in the position of those parents who are fleeing. And mind you, I was not fleeing the sort of things they're fleeing. A lot of them are fleeing from drug traffickers, and they've seen people in their families being murdered. They've seen violence of all sorts. And so they're here to seek asylum. And political refugees and political asylum, right? So I felt really bad that if we are a humane society, if we are people of faith, if we're people who care about each other, at least instead of putting them in separate facilities, at least keep them together. And like my mom used to say, if I'm going to eat sugar cane for dinner, I'll eat it with my children. Mm-hmm. So we'll be poor together. We'll overcome poverty together. We'll struggle together. We'll face the challenges together. But I think for them to separate them, it's really heartbreaking for a lot of us. And if you decide to send them back because they didn't meet the criteria for asylum, then send them together because they'll survive somehow. But to separate those little children, I read this morning an article where one of the toddlers, her diaper needed to be changed, and there were no adults around. Because she was just there in that center, and other teenagers had to change a diaper for that child. Yeah. I mean, so these are the things that when you're a mom, you worry about tucking your children to sleep at night, reading them a bedtime story. And these children are just trying to survive. There's nothing like that going on, yeah. And so that was my weekend. Was pretty much wrapped up. Once I saw that, I knew what I was going to do. I was going to attend that rally and lend my voice to support. The parents and the children, and even our legislators, to get direction and guidance to do what's right.
What were some of the outcomes of the rally? Were there any like big things that stood out to you?
Well, it was just the love of the human beings who showed up for our country and our nation. That this is what America is for. America is a place where people come here for an opportunity. They come here so that they could make something of themselves. And, you know, people don't understand this, but if one person comes to this country from a nation that where they were struggling, they're able to send back a few extra dollars home. And that helps so many people. You'd be surprised what 10 U.S. dollars will do in some countries. Absolutely. It can feed a family. And I know that firsthand.
For a week.
For a week.
Feed a family.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not only about the families who are fleeing. They're leaving loved ones behind as well. And the family who had the courage to leave is giving the others that they left behind hope, mm-hmm. you know. And then the other thing I attended was I went to the Melbourne Chamber of Commerce, had a young professional meetups, and they were talking about recycling and our environment. And, you know, I was telling the people there, I said, I grew up in a home with mud on the floors. We had mud floors. We had roofs made out of straw. We had no running water. We didn't have food sometimes, and we were sustained, our life was sustained by eating coconut. You know, my mom would cut the coconut open and give us the jelly, and we drank the water. We made mattresses from the fiber, but we survived. Poverty makes you stronger sometimes.
That's right.
And you face these challenges. But I was telling them that what they're talking about in the United States, having a clothesline and a rain barrel and picking up leaves, and we were doing that a long time ago. So it seems right. as though my mom and dad were the king and queen of recycling.
That's right.
You know, so that was, those are kind of things I did this weekend. What about you?
Those are great things. Actually, we did a lot of celebration. Our band went and played at a few assisted living facilities and then celebrated Father's Day yesterday with a great concert. And so it was, overall, I didn't go to as many events as you went to, but certainly we were the entertainment for those events.
I have a lot of energy, but yes. I also want to say thank you to Laura Bush this morning. She just spoke out in support of the children on the border, and I've always liked her. I think she's she was one of the most tender first ladies, and her love for reading, I mean, she was just awesome. So I was really touched, and I hear Mr. Schifrin saying yes. You probably read that article as well.
Very much so.
Yes. So so we have with us this morning on
Viewpoint. So talking about making a difference in Brevard County.
Yes. And, you know, Brevard County, we have a lot of people in Brevard that are giving back so many things to our children and our adults do. We have senior centers. We have United Way. We've got the Boys and Girls Club who are here today. And we're very blessed because in the summer, we want to keep our children occupied. We want to keep them out of mischief. And we want to make sure we know who their friends are, who they're hanging with. Most important, the children are their environment. So we have all the parents out there in the summer, they've got these worries. If I have to work and watch Mandy's children, how am I going to do it? So that's why it's good to have somebody like Anwar Hunt with the Boys and Girls Club watching out for the kids. So Anwar is the program director of the Coco Boys and Girls Club, and he brought with him these beautiful children. So tell us a little bit about the Boys and Girls Club, Mr. Anwar.
My specific Boys and Girls Club or Boys and Girls Club period?
Just whatever you can tell us, because apparently one of us printed the material and it didn't show up.
Someone.
My son Mikey, he used to say somebody did it.
Well, it did start in Hartford, Connecticut back in 1860. I think at that time we were at war, I want to say. And three lovely ladies decided that they didn't want to see these boys playing in the street. So she's like, why don't you guys come into the house? We'll do some different activities. And you know, kids, hey, we're going to this person's house. We could do this, that, and a third. Got bigger and bigger and bigger and became the boys' club. And then I think in the 1980s is when we finally let in some girls. Right. Or the early 1900s.
Well, you know, that's what they say. They say it takes one person to make a difference.
Yes, ma'am.
It just takes one person to take an idea and run with it. And then mm-hmm. other people will follow suit. And that's what they did. And I was talking to a couple of my patients at work, and I told them that I was having the Boys and Girls Club on the show today. And they were so excited because before the United Way and before all these other programs that we have now, the Boys and Girls Club was the club that people looked up to,
right,
to help children with after school care and homework and keep them busy with activities and things. And they have a really good mission as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our friend, one of our friend, John, is going to read the mission statement for us.
Go ahead, John.
John, I just want to tell our listeners, John has a really nice voice. He's 16 years old, and his name is John Banks. I mean, that sounds like a name that's going to be making it someplace. Yeah.
Thank you. So at our club, every single day, we have Stop, Drop, and Code. And one of the things that we have to do is to say our mission statement. And it is our mission statement of the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida is to inspire and enable all young people, especially those with disadvantaging circumstances, to realize their full potential as productive, responsible, and caring citizens. So that is our mission and one of the things. And just to harp on what Mr. Anwar was saying, when the Boys and Girls Club came to pass, personally, me, my family, aunts and uncles have gone to the Boys Club back then. And I joined the club in the eighth grade, and I'm going to my senior year now. So, yeah, I was...
I didn't realize it was so long.
I was youth of the year, my sophomore year, so hopefully maybe I could try that again. But overall, like the staff members have been really encouraging. They've been trying to get the best out of me, and they've just been, just haven't really given up on me. So they're really cool people, and they're really responsible, caring citizens.
So how did you join? I mean, what made you join the Boys and Girls Club?
Well, I just moved to Florida. I just moved from Maine. I'm from North Carolina, so for me personally to move to Florida to be in Merritt Island, I'm going to Jefferson Middle School, and halfway through the school year, my friend was like, okay, you're just going to move to Florida. So I'm not moved to Florida, sorry, I moved to Cocoa. So my parents at the time were like, I want you to have something that you can do your homework with and get help with and socialize. So at first I'm like, I don't want to go to this club. What? Like I'd rather just stay home. So my mom comes in my room with like the rules and stuff, said read this. I'm like, oh. So I come into the club my first day, and I had some McDonald's with me, and everybody was just so welcoming, and they were like, who's that, who's that? And I was like shy and stuff, saying how you doing, stuff like that. And that eventually just developed into almost 4 years now of just going to the club and just saying hello.
You have like a sense of belonging. You belong somewhere.
Yes,
and that makes you
that way,
yes. So, and then next to me, I have Nivea Lovett, and she's 11 years old. So, Nivea, same question. What made you join the Boys and Girls Club?
What made me join the Boys and Girls?
Yeah. Like, who referred you to it? I mean, was it your grandmother, or your mom, or a friend?
It was my aunt. Because when I used to go home, my aunt referred me to go to the Boys and Girls Club because I used to be home. Coming from school, I never did nothing but stayed in the house.
Just sitting around the house. And what are you learning at the Boys and Girls Club?
What I'm learning at the Boys and Girls Club is helping me with my schoolwork. I can do more things, and I can be more active.
And then we're going to ask Baylin the same question. Baylin, so one of the things that the Boys and Girls Club does is you guys do a lot of artwork, I heard. So how is that helping you?
Well, the Boys and Girls Club, first of all, made me get into art because there was this art teacher named Miss Paris. She was really nice. She's the one that made me get into art, either because if I wasn't, I wouldn't be into art these days right now because of her. Because she's the one that, like, I'm like, what are you guys doing? And he's like, oh, you want to do this? I'm like, sure. And then that's how I, like, developed into art.
Yeah, so they encourage participation. Yes. So how did you hear about the Boys and Girls Club, Balin?
Well, my mom, she was, me and my mom and my dad and my little brother, we were struggling a little bit because we used to live in a trailer where where Subway is, then you go more back and there's the trailers. We used to live in a trailer, and we moved there, like, moved into a house a year ago. Well, when we were living in a trailer, we were relying on food stamps and on whatever we could get, charities and stuff, because my mom, we used to go to the churches to get food, little boxes. We used to get that, and then we would always go over there. We would struggle. Sometimes we didn't have a lot of money for food and stuff. And then my mom, she works at Home Depot cleaning and stuff. She cleans the whole store, and then she goes to houses to clean, and then she goes to offices to clean. And then she comes back home, and then we were staying at the house where she's, well, the trailer, because we used to live in the trailer. She would always be worried in the trailer because the neighbors and stuff. She would always be worried.
So she wanted you to be in a safe place.
Yes.
And she found that the Boys and Girls Club gave you that security and safety and guidance that you needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. We'd love to meet your mom one day, too. She sounds like a terrific person. Fascinating story. And so, and then we have, of course, we have our little friend there, Matthew. And Matthew already told us a little bit about himself. But Matthew, same question. How did you get involved with the Boys and Girls Club in Coco?
My mom, like, when they would start building up Boys and Girls Club, my mom wanted me to try the Boys and Girls Club, and I wanted to go there because I ain't had no friends at that time, so I wanted to meet new friends and all that stuff when I came. And then when I came to Boys and Girls Club, everybody was like, "Who is this?" And I was like, "My name is Matthew," and I started meeting friends. And Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah, so that's one. So Anwar, you give us a brief overview of some of the summer programs that you're having at the Boys and Girls Club for these lovely children and others who are there.
When you say brief, you want 10 or less?
Yeah, just tell us what you're doing. But just give us an overview.
Okay, basically during our summer program, we're open from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. We give them breakfast. We give them a lunch. And we're a STEM focused facility, so we have an actual program assistant or staff person who, that's basically all he does all day, is different STEM activities from the time he comes in to the time he leaves. We have somebody over education. We know it's summertime, but you know, studies have showed that kids lose a lot of what they've learned from the previous year going into the next year, so we have somebody who's focused on making sure that they stay at their grade level, but we also want them to surpass where they're at this point. So that's our focus. And like Balin said, we have art. Our art person, Miss Allison, is amazing. She has them doing various types of artwork. It's not just painting and coloring and stuff like that. They're doing stuff that they probably couldn't believe that they were doing at this point. Because you know how there's painting with a twist?
Yes.
She has cookies and canvas.
Oh, that's at wonderful.
At the club. So they come in and just to participate. So it's the same concept. You know, everybody paints the same thing. And while they're painting, they have juices, they have cookies, but they're actually exploring their artistic side by, even though everybody's creative. Doing the same thing,
yes,
it's coming out in their way. And everybody's so proud. I had one girl come up to me Friday when she did it, just running up, and you can see that she was shining, you know, from this piece of artwork, this masterpiece. She did. I was like, "Oh, that's great."
Yes, I'm very proud. And instilling a lot of confidence as well in
exactly.
the kids, because they're
exactly.
so proud. So I know a retired principal from Merritt Island High School who can be a guest speaker at your event. I noticed you have a lot of guest speakers.
Oh, yes.
We have Gary Schifrin with us today, and he is the retired principal from Merritt Island High School from 2003 to 2013. And then he also was the principal of Jefferson Middle School from 1993 to 2003. So you have a lot of guest speakers that come in the summer as well to speak with the kids?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, here's your opportunity to find out if he can help you.
I need one for July, by the way. I need one for July.
Yes.
I think it's a wonderful thing, in particular, that you are doing stuff in the summer in accordance with STEM.
Right.
Because, as you know, all the schools are really involved and active in doing that. So these young people that you have at your club are going to have such an advantage over the ones that are just laying on the couch.
Exactly.
And not doing anything this summer. So, you know, I commend all of them that come because they're doing a wonderful thing. And they'll be ready for school once it gets started up again.
Right.
Good job.
So you also have a hydroponic garden. Who wants to talk about the garden tower, and all the raised garden beds?
That would probably be best between Baylin and Nevaeh, because they're very active.
I think you're sitting right next to me. You're so cute. So tell us a little bit about the garden. Don't be shy. Think of me as Auntie Sita.
Yeah. Okay. At the Boys and Girls Club, during the garden club, we grow plants where when they're done growing, we'll usually pick them, cut some dead ends off, and then we go to our chef club and cook them. Because chef club is like when we go from our garden, we have one upstairs and one outside. When we go for those, we pick our vegetables or fruits that we grow, and then we take them into our kitchen and we help our staff. Well, we really like helping our club and stuff, and we cook the vegetables.
And how does it feel to grow your own crops and eat it?
Good.
This like self-satisfaction, right? Because I remember when I used to pick tomatoes when I was little, and eggplant and beans. And then, you know, there's something about growing your own food and cooking it as well. And then you get to share it, right? You guys get to share the food with other people in the club.
Yes.
Do you give any to the community? Anybody in the community? You don't have that much. Yeah. And you also have, so what are some of the other clubs you have besides the art club and the gardening club and the STEM club? You guys, I know you have people that encourage you to have field trips. Oh, Baylin, you wanted to add something to the gardening club for us? Baylin looks like we can have her back. We're going to have them back on another show because it's 1:22 and Baylin looks like she knows what she's talking about there.
Well, we failed to tell you guys, these were four of the most quietest kids at our camp. Or at our club, so them coming out and doing this, if you would have signed them when they first came to the club, you wouldn't actually believe that they would come do this.
Go ahead, man. Talk about the hydroponic.
The what?
The hydroponic garden.
Want to know if you enjoy growing the food and also taking it up to the upstairs and having the chef club prepared for you to eat.
Well, what we do, there's like a garden upstairs. You know the special lights? Where you grow the plants. We have like a little thing that they donated to us to grow the plants in so they grow more faster. And we use those to make salads, and we use the beans to make with the salad, we put them in the salads. We still have a container in the fridge still of peas. And we also growing zucchinis I think too. And last time I checked, we also grew carrots, we also grew potatoes, and corn, squash.
They have a lot of stuff. That sounds...
What's hydroponic? What is hydroponic? Do you grow dirt?
No, yeah, you can explain.
Well, I think I want to go to Matthew and John and ask him about the field trips, because I understand... Oh, yeah. I understand the Boys and Girls Club of COCO, who were so fortunate that they were able to come on Viewpoint with Sita and friends today on AM 1510 WWBC, and we're also on FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. Thank you. And so tell us a little bit about the field trips, because I know you love those. So we'll go with Matthew first, and then John first, and then Matthew.
Okay. Well, during my time with the Boys and Girls Club, we've gone on numerous field trips. I mean,
listen
NASA,
to how he says numerous.
Actually, today we have like a group of kids going to NASA for the space program. So I don't know the exact criteria, but just going around NASA all day and doing scientific activities. And
they help programming a rover that will be going to Mars at the IME camp.
So yeah, I remember 2 years ago this summer we went to New York. I went and. Teens who were still going to the club at the time still went, and it was amazing. Coming up, we have a UCF reality check. So basically, this is the second or third year that we're doing this. And it basically gets us as teens involved in what life is going to possibly be like for us with bills and, you know, different choices.
So to teach
that
you life
make.
Skills.
Yes.
So when you leave school, you leave high school, you know, one of the things I've always thought they should teach children from even at 16, maybe even younger than, is how to protect their credit. Because, you know, a lot of kids, the minute they get that credit card, they want to go out and start using it. And the minute they have a job, they want to start spending the money. But I've always thought that savings, going to the bank and actually opening a bank account is one of the best things you can do. Because when you see your money, once you see the amount there, you don't even want to see a deduction ever. You just want to see it grow. So are they teaching you things like that as well, about credit and savings and things like that?
Most definitely. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we had a Chase banker who oversees every single Chase, like in, I think, Brevard.
Yeah,
Brevard County. He came in and told us about like debit and credit and opening accounts, and how he said, even my dad says, like, when I was your age, I wish I would have saved my money. And just a couple of days ago, I'm like, Dad, let's go cash in my check. Because like it's my first check, I want to cash it in, you know, to buy stuff. But it's kind of like, if you save your money, then it can start growing and growing and growing. So it's like reaping and sowing. Therefore, you can get more money. So yeah,
that's good. So Matthew, what is your favorite field trip?
My favorite field trip is the Melbourne Mall.
Oh, what did you do at the mall?
Went shopping.
Oh, you did. So one's trying to save and one's trying to shop. Now, but you know, when you go shopping, they tell you to ask yourself two questions. Do I need this or do I want this? And there's a big difference, because if you need it, well, you probably have to have it, right? But if you want it, you have to ask yourself a couple of times. Were the items you bought things you needed or you wanted?
Wanted.
Oh. So we're going to go around really quick because we have about a couple of seconds, 30 seconds, couple minutes left. So I'm going to start with my little friend, Nevaeh, right next to me here. Tell me, if you were to tell another child why they should come to the Boys and Girls Club, like in one sentence, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to come to the Boys and Girls Club so they can have a better future.
Oh, how sweet. And what about you, Baylen? What would you tell them?
I would tell them to come to the Boys and Girls Club because... so they can find their self, so they don't have to be shy or be scared or something like that. Because I know that a lot of people now are like into like suicide, homicide and stuff. So, and they will help you there and stuff, because a lot of my friends, they want to do it for some reason. So I would tell them to come over there so they can like stop doing it and show themselves to the people, so they don't have to like think about doing it.
Right, so you don't have to be alone and you don't have to be depressed at home. And you're saying that the Boys and Girls Club in Cocoa, Florida helps people to develop a good sense of self-esteem as well as build self-confidence.
Yes, ma'am.
That's right. I can hear that in your voice. And then we go to our good friend, Matthew. Matthew, you're learning a lot. You're learning how to shop, how to play sports, how to do art. You have a club where you eat. What else can you do?
I would tell them to come to Boys and Girls Club because it's actually fun, a lot of activities.
Well, you know, they say the mind is a terrible thing. They say the mind is a terrible thing to waste. And when you're home, you're not really using your mind like you do in a group setting, right? You're being very creative with your friends and you're learning about STEM. And John, what about you?
I would say go to the Boys and Girls Club just so... some doors can be open to you, some positive doors, like with field trips, different guests coming in that you can network with, and just different things that could possibly help you in life.
And we're going to have Anwar give us the website for the Boys and Girls Club and the Facebook page. And then I think we have, 30 seconds left? About, yeah.
All right, so the website is www.bg, as in boys, girls, cc, as in central, that's Club Central, and then f.org. That's the website, bgccf.org. And to look us up on Facebook, just search Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida.
And if Nevaeh, Baylen, Matthew, or John has any more things to share with our audience, any knowledge, any experience, feel free to reach out to Ellen or I and let us know. We'd love to have you guys back just to see how you're doing. And who knows, maybe one of you guys might end up in television or radio or producing, directing. This is how great things happen when people share their ideas with the younger children. Our job as adults is to guide you all and make the future bright and make the world a better place for you all. So that's all. That's why our show is fun and unscripted. Really quick, did you guys have fun?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you come back again?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back with Gary Schifrin right here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love. From Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haul away available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud 9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MedFast Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group, On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. What a great first half hour we had with the Boys and Girls Club of COCO. And we had these lovely children visiting with us, Nivia, Balin, John, and Matthew, and Anwar, the director of the program, was here. We were chatting so much, we almost missed our second segment. But that's why Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is doing so well. And we have so many people that want to sponsor really great shows for us as well, because we're unscripted and we have a lot of fun. And it's educational, and we give out a lot of great information as well. And Ellen, speaking about information, you had something to add to the Boys and Girls Club?
So the website is bgccf.org, and that brings you to the Central Florida Boys and Girls Club. But one of the things that we didn't mention was that this is not a funded program. So we are really looking for your donations and your help. Donations can come in every form that you could possibly imagine. Money is always the best, obviously, because it supports the most. But these folks are from our COCO, COCO Boys and Girls Club. So if you are interested in donating, you can donate online. Certainly Erin Harvey is her last name, and she can help you earmark those donations to a specific club or to a specific area. But we just encourage everybody. These are such great, this was such a
and
great
they've got
story
400
today.
400 children waiting to get in.
Exactly.
And we all talk about helping the children and making sure they've got proper mentors and leadership, people in leadership roles helping. So this is a way to do it, right?
Right.
So the second segment is with Gary Schifrin. And like we said before, he was the principal of Merritt Island High School from 2003 to 2013. Also the principal of Jefferson Middle School from 1993 to 2003. He's held other positions in the Brevard school system, currently the executive director of the Brevard Association of School Administrators. So welcome. And he's also my friend, and I love his Facebook posts. I learn a lot about public education from him as well. It's always nice. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you, Sita. Good to be here. Although I learned a long time ago never to follow children. So they spoke very eloquently, and I'm going to do the best I can to try to inform.
Yes, and you're also the chairperson of the Independent Citizens Oversight Committee, overseeing the monies collected and utilized from the half-cent sales tax for education.
That's correct. Yeah.
And that's probably the best way to start our show off today, because you know, we're hearing so much in the news right now about the Indian River Lagoon and people who want to increase the taxes for public education, for the teacher salaries and all that. And we're still seeing a lot of people are pushing back and say, well, we still want oversight as to what was passed before that half-cent sales tax.
Yeah, you know, again, I had a 42-year career in the Brevard Public Schools. And during those years, there were many initiatives to try to pass sales tax increases, but they all miserably failed. The difference in this one, which was in 2014, was that they were smart enough to put in this Independent Citizens Oversight Committee so that the voters knew that there was going to be a committee of laymen that will make sure that the monies that were raised were used per the language of the referendum. And we're convinced that that had a lot to do with its passage. So we're very pleased with the amount of money that we've been collecting. Every year it's gone up. There's a lot of new people moving into Brevard County, so that helps. And plus we get the tourists, the money that they spend in our county goes towards it as well. And we've done a lot of really good things with it. There's three areas that we can spend it on: facility renewal, school security, and technology. So it's been really good.
So I think this is a good question for you as well as the children, right? If they could, we can have them come in on this one. What is your perspective on the school board's decision to hire armed campus monitors for those schools with no school resource officers?
Well, again, as an educator, school security is really important to all of us. I mean, you want to make sure that our students are safe, our teachers are safe, administrators, clerical. Everyone should be safe. Nobody should be fearful of going to school. And unfortunately, we've had a number of mass shootings that have brought all of this to light. And so one of the proposals that got thrown out there was that we ought to arm our staffs so that we have more guns in the schools. Well, right from the beginning, I was vehemently against this.
And so am I.
I spoke at...
I'm against that as well.
I spoke at our school board meetings. I was on the panel for town hall meeting in Satellite Beach. For so many reasons, this is just not the way it should be. So when the board decided that they would not arm our school staffs, but instead, for those schools that didn't have a school resource officer, they gave them an additional unit, which would be where former military, former law enforcement who had experience in using guns could be hired and could be trained. I thought that that was the best way to go. Of course, they right from the get-go said teachers would not be, you know, armed. So it left the administrators, it left the secretaries, it left the cafeteria workers.
Librarians.
And, you know, so again, it just wasn't the right thing to do. And right now we're hoping that that will continue. It has not been voted down by the board. They have just kind of tabled it for the time being.
So it might pop up again.
It could pop up again.
So for the children, do you all have drills in your schools? Like for safety after Parkland, did you guys have any drills in your school? I see John.
Yes. We had a school shooting drill. I think it was either fire drill or school shooting drill. But one of my teachers, though, at the time, she was vehemently
opposed.
Yes, she was vehemently opposed to arming teachers because she was like, well, personally for me, if a teacher is like armed, like it can be dangerous for like the kids, because what if the teacher like goes off, and then that's another school shooting. So, yeah.
Yeah. So and do you kids feel safe having a police officer in your schools? You do? Oh, she's nodding her head. I knew she would. You like having security in your schools?
Yes.
Yes. You feel safer?
Yes.
Yeah. What about in? Do you have any ideas on that, how we could bring more security to our schools? Education. Always education, right? Yeah.
Cita, let me mention also that one of the areas that the Certex has worked really well is, again, we have hardened our schools. We have made them, you know, all these people talk about the problems in Parkland and Santa Fe, in which they had like all these buildings and they had all these different ways that, you know, an intruder, an armed intruder could get in. Well, by the end of this summer, because of the surtax, all of our schools will have one entry. That would be the only way that anybody can get into the building, is that one entrance. And it will be, and they'll have a camera on it, so people will be able to see who might have got in or whatever. And then fencing. So we have done as much as we can
to be proactive. I know my grandchild goes to Longleaf Elementary, and you can't get into that school. You have to be, they vet you pretty much. I mean, I have to give them my driver's license, and it doesn't matter if I was in the school 5 minutes ago, and I left the driver's license because I went and left my purse in it. They'll say, go back and get it.
Yeah.
You have to match, which is, I think, is great. It's really run well. And like you're saying, maybe all the schools in Brevard would be like that. That would be great.
Yeah, and that's not to say that we couldn't do more if we had more money. We certainly could do more. But again, I hope that the citizens of Brevard understand that our buildings are as safe right now as they possibly can be, compared to a lot of other schools, you know.
But we could do more.
Of course, we could do more.
And it's not good enough to say you want safety in the schools, but not put your money where your mouth is. Because
exactly.
We find that a lot of people, they just talk. So, Mr. Schifrin, what is your vision for Brevard Public Schools?
Well, you know, I was one of the applicants for superintendent of schools that just recently took place. And the reason why I applied for the job was because I felt that my 42-year career in the school system and the leadership positions I had certainly qualified me to be considered. And again, I started back in 1971. And the one thing that I always admired about the Brevard Public Schools was the fact that we were like a family. Relationships was really important. And if you're going to have a successful school system, people have to love one another. People have to get along with
trust.
One another.
They trust. Have to trust. Respect and trust.
Exactly. And, you know, it used to be when there was a problem, you could pick up the phone and you could actually talk to somebody and get it worked out. Unfortunately, over the past years, I won't say exactly how many, things have changed. And we've gone from this relationship type district to a business district now, where, you know, we do all these investigations, we take these people and we move them from their positions, and there's a distrust, like you said, and there's a morale problem as well. So my vision is that I'd like to get Brevard County back to the way it used to be. You know, teachers know when they went into education that they didn't do it to make a lot of money, but at the same time, they knew that they should be taken care of and that, you know, they shouldn't have to have 2 and 3 jobs in order to support their families. But a lot of our teachers have to do that because they're paid so miserably. And unfortunately, the legislature...
Some reason they don't make it a priority.
No, exactly.
Teachers, I mean, I looked at the salaries that teachers get and also what the attorneys, an attorney starting out in the state attorney's office, and it's pitiful.
Yeah.
I don't understand why these are two areas that I've always wondered why the pay is so little.
We're ranked 48th. There's 50 states in the union. We're ranked 48th in the nation in regards to teacher pay. It's just awful. And then, you know, so one of the things that came up recently was this idea of increasing the millage, because that's the only way we're going to get money. The legislature has already said that there's no money that's coming to extra money that's coming to the school systems. So there's not going to be any more, you know, there's not going to be any raises this year. There's not going to be taking care of, you know, the things that need to be taken care of. And so that was proposed, but the board felt that this wasn't the right time to do it.
Another item that's tabled. So for children in the room, can you explain to them what the millage is and how property taxes help their schools? Do you guys know that property taxes help your schools? Do you know how that works? Well, Mr. Schifrin is going to give you a quick lesson.
Well, again, property tax basically is when you buy a house, when you have a house, there is a millage, there's a percentage that goes towards the schools. And because of law by our state legislature, every year for like I think the last 10 years, the millage has gone down. So in other words, we get even less money than we had the previous year. So the idea was is that, you know, with what happened to Parkland and how serious and the awful thing that took place with all those young people and teachers who were killed, it brought to light again the fact that we have to do something. We can't just stand by and not take care of our people. And so
we have to make our schools safer so the learning environment would be great for the children who are in these schools and they won't have to worry about things.
Yeah, and it's a shame, you know, that young people should even be fearful of going to school. I mean, that just shouldn't happen. You know, school should be a welcoming place. It should be a place to learn. It should be, you know, a place where people, kind of like the Boys and Girls Club, where, you know, you go and you're with your friends and you have fun, but at the same time, you learn.
So how do we get the trust back between the educators, the Brevard Federation of Teachers and the school board and the administrators. What is that? What is it that we're lacking? That is it? I mean, where is the communication breakdown?
Again, it has to come with the people. I mean, it has to come with the people that are in a position to make the decisions. It has to come from the top. There are important people that run our school system, and unless they are the ones that make decisions and unless they're the ones that make statements about all of us working together and you know, resolving conflict and resolving issues, that's where it's going to have to be. I'd like to think that we could depend on our legislators to, you know, do the right thing and, like you said, Sita, make education a priority. But public education right now is really...
It's not like the bottom of the totem pole.
Exactly. And in fact, even charter schools and, you know, schools of that nature are getting a lot more money from the budget, which is taken away from the public schools. So these are the kinds of decisions that we hope someday, real soon, will change.
Well, it used to be if you wanted your child to attend a private school, you paid for it. Mm-hmm. And now we see where it's become where you can take money out of the public schools and give it to a family that wants to do that. And but I'm not sure. I always say, you know, you have to fix the communities in order to fix our public schools.
Yeah.
Get more parents involved, get people involved in their community schools. And it's almost like the legislators have moved away from that concept to take the money and put it into charter and private school instead of helping those communities. No parent should have to work 2 and 3 jobs to survive. And then you want your children to get an A in school, but you're not there because you have to. So it's survival. How can you survive on $10 an hour, $12 an hour? So you go out to work. So we have to look at the socioeconomic issues as well, to pay people a decent wage, the teachers as well as parents.
Yeah, you know, you can't point fingers at any one group. You can't point fingers at the parents because a lot of them are struggling, like you said, to make ends meet. And so, unfortunately, you know, I mean, when I was growing up, you know, when I went to school, my mom said goodbye. When I came home from school, my mom was there to say, hey, how was your day? Times have changed.
And you probably had a hot meal. A lot of kids today go home to no food or a grandmother or a grandparent mm-hmm. who's watching them. And it's very sad because there's it's a struggle and it's a challenge just to wake up every day and know who's going to be in your life to mentor and help you. And those kids have to compete with other children who have the two-parent household and have all those mentors and guidance counselors in their lives.
You know, but to be positive, the one thing I will say, regardless of how little the pay may be or how the work conditions may be, we have such wonderful, amazing teachers that do a great job every day. They don't let those things, you know, interfere with the quality of education that they're providing for our students. Brevard County has one of the highest test scores of any county in the state. We're an A district. So again, even though we ought to do better by our employees, you have such unbelievable, committed, and dedicated professionals that are taking care of our young people.
So this is Sita Begee. I never say my name. Of late, I have forgotten my name. This is Sita Begee. Our show is called Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, S-E-E-T-A, not C-E-D-A. When I talk in text, it's always put C-E-D-A. And Ellen Little is my... Yeah, thanks. Ellen Little is my co-host. She's been with me for over 6 years. We're having a fabulous day. We have the Boys and Girls Club with us and 4 awesome children, Nivea, Balin, John, and Matthew, and they came with Anwar Hunt, who is the program director. We have Gary Schifrin, who's here with us as well. And you know, Ellen, when I think of leadership, I always say leaders are in a great position to change the environment, to influence human behavior, and because they say behavior is influenced by your environment. So, Mr. Schifrin, what is your take on the current leadership in Washington, D.C., in our nation right now? And we know
you shouldn't have done this question 5 minutes before.
Well, we know freedom of speech comes with a responsibility, right? And the thing is, we all want to see an America that's thriving and doing well, and we want to leave a great, we want to leave a footprint on this earth that it, when we leave this planet, for our children to have a safer world and more educated world too.
Sita, I'm 69 years old, and I've lived through a lot of presidents, and I've lived through a lot of things that happen in government. I never would have thought that what we're currently going through would ever happen here. You know, at the beginning of your show, you were talking about how the disgraceful immigration thing that's happening at our border, where babies are being pulled from parents and taken to another site so that the parents don't even know where they are. That doesn't happen in the United States.
That's worrisome.
I think of the Statue of Liberty, and it's almost like I want to go and put a cloak around it because it's not there. We're not welcoming the kinds of people that have always sought refuge in our country. And the fact that our governmental officials are allowing this to happen is...
Like, where are their voices? It's almost as though no one is speaking up anymore. People are so fearful. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the politicians are worried about re-election, so they don't want to go against the grain. And then some just don't, I guess they just don't care. But I think as a human being, at some point, compassion is one of the key components of life. You have to be compassionate. You have to care about people. They said, do unto others as you would like it to be done unto you. And we also say, be thy brother's keeper. So where are all these brothers, and why aren't they keeping people?
That's the $64 million question, I guess.
I think John is going to use his voice in a very positive manner because he knows he's on air and he's going to say something.
Okay, so you were talking about what our president is doing towards, stands towards, basically, you're talking about how immigration things, so like that, it kind of reminded me of Nazi Germany during the Holocaust, just that picture of just getting children and their mother ripped away from each other. So that kind of reminded me of what you were talking about there. So just to have an analysis.
Yeah, it makes you sad. Yeah, it almost like you're standing by. Well, it reminded me of the Hutsis and the Tutsis who were fighting. And then we saw the cover of Time magazine with all those human skulls that they found in that river. I remember that magazine cover. And the world stood by silently while the fighting was the civil war between those two groups of people. And we shouldn't stay silent. We should say what we have to say in a nice manner, but at the same time, we should know our audience and who are the ones that we're trying to help. And we're trying to help children and families who are fleeing from countries that are torn with violence.
So now more than ever, we need everybody to activate and get involved in whatever capacity you can get involved in. Certainly with a less than 30% voter turnout, that's always the first step of getting involved. And ask the people that are running in September about the school system, about what they're doing for public education.
Yeah, I think you're going to find a much greater voter turnout with the young people in particular as a result of what happened in Parkland and Santa Fe.
I would love to bring Mr. Schifrin back too on the show because you always add to our show and we learn so much from you. You know, in my culture, they tell us that the older people, the elderly people, in whether it's your age or older than you, like my parents, my grandparents, we always learn. Everyone has experience, and it's up to us to be willing to listen and take that experience. And so thank you, because I do learn a lot from you.
Thank you to all of you who showed up today. Thank you so much, because we did learn a lot today on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And we'll be back next week right here on 1510 WWBC, right here at 1 o'clock.